This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Youth Leadership Platform, YLP, the platform for youth, for them to share their views and messages with the world, with their peers, with the political leaders, doesn't matter who. And of course, this goes on to a podcast, and we share it on Twitter, on our Facebook page. What is our Facebook page address, Chanel, so that youth can join?
That is Youth Leadership Platform. So you just go onto Facebook and you type Youth Leadership Platform into the search bar, and it should come up.
And Twitter is Social YLP.
Yes, at Social YLP.
At Social YLP. Okay, join us. Please join us. This is your platform, and the ideal is for us soon to start a national competition almost, or to find the ideal presenter for the show, co-presenter one day to be the presenter. So we're looking for that ideal person. But today elections are over. What the heck next? We've heard all the promises, and we know they never deliver anyway. But it was a fascinating election. It was really a fascinating election.
It was. I was watching Carte Blanche yesterday, and they were saying, you know, it's really, there's really a difference this time round. And you can see it in the country as well, that there is really a difference, this hope for change.
Sasha Lee, what do you think about the results?
I think the results are interesting. Like they said, it was going to be one of the biggest elections since the 1994 elections. And surprising, very surprising. I think there's different emotions on it. But you are very interesting. I think definitely not boring. Definitely not boring.
So now we have an interesting couple of 5 years ahead. Yeah. Now we have a live audience, a couple of youth or students, you know, sort of early 20s, mid 20s in the studio, or in the hub as we call it. And I mean, it ranges from the SRC secretary at Tux to the founder of Tusanani Foundation. Very interesting. We've got Miss India, SA. We've got a law student. We've got quite a few different variety of youngsters that Sasha Lee and Chanel pulled into the studio. And here they are. We're going to ask them 3-4 questions, and they need to grab the mic very fast. Sort of a post-analysis, but a little bit more than that. And I guess your views, whatever your views and feelings are, we want to get the pulse of the nation. This is now you talking. I might facilitate, and Chanel helping me here, but this is your voice to your peers and to the world. I mean, the elections are over. Your thoughts on it, just your general thoughts on it. Who's first? Introduce yourself and then give us your thoughts.
Good afternoon, listeners. I am Sherianne Palais, Miss Heritage Gauteng 2016.
Okay.
With regards to the elections and the youth of South Africa, with me being Miss Heritage as well, I think we...
Just tell us what Miss Heritage is very quickly.
Miss Heritage is a pageant that focuses on promoting heritage in South Africa and globally. Okay. I'm currently Miss Heritage Gauteng. On the 24th of September, I go through to Miss Heritage South Africa. Okay. Thereafter, Miss Heritage Global. With me being on such a platform, I think that the youth should use whatever platform they have to move South Africa forward.
Mm.
It is, pageantry titles are often overlooked, but I do believe it is a platform to implement change. Furthermore, with regards to heritage and history, if you look at the likes of Nelson Mandela, Ahmed Kathrada, Fatima Meer, they were all in their prime during their youth. I strongly believe the youth are the blood of this country.
Mm.
Blood is required for your body system to function properly. In the same way, the youth are pivotal in moving South Africa forward. And I think these elections definitely played that out, in the sense that we saw a democracy being playing out, the voice of the people. It saw a massive shift in politics with regards to South African politics, obviously. But I think it's definitely a wake-up call for those to use the rights that the people of the past have fought so long and hard for. We fought long and hard for us to merely have the right to vote. And there are youth out there that are not doing anything about this.
Mm.
If the country is literally in the youth's hands.
Okay. So some of the others come closer to the mic. We do have an open seat here. I don't know why. And maybe we should have them alternate here, because to be catching on Periscope when they're on that microphone. So guys, I think rather come through to the studio and we'll have you talk through this mic and some of the others. We'll just make it do somehow.
Have them rotate.
Yeah, even if you have to rotate. Let's get your views on the elections. It's over. Your thoughts on it. That's what we're asking. And I'm interested in what messages do you think this election sent to the leaders? And in fact, does it reflect what the youth want to send to the leaders, the message that the youth want to send to the leaders? But let's first wrap it up here through all of you. Share your views. Your thoughts on the elections, post-elections. Right, who's next? Introduce yourself and then share your views. Come close to the mic.
All right. My name is Mukove Masuta. I'm the volunteer of Tosanani Foundation you were referring to earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just your feelings on the elections.
So my interpretation of politics is usually very detailed. The changes that have taken place in Gauteng, I foresaw them in 2013. When one looked at data that was coming out of the city of Tshwane, for example, the people who do not vote and the people who register to vote and not vote can win elections against all South African political parties combined in one election. So what most parties, all parties, failed to do, unfortunately, which is probably something to look at for those who will be contesting elections moving forward, is to actually remember that in Tshwane, there were 1.5 million people registered to vote. 41% of them did not vote.
Did not vote.
That 1.5 million in itself, it's not even 50% of those who are eligible to register to vote.
That's crazy.
So while people
that's how it can shift.
The discourse has largely surrounded what I would call surface interpretations of the elections. But when you look deeper, any strategist of any political party will need to actually go back to these communities and see why they don't vote, why they don't register to vote, and how to get them by their side.
Interesting view. But only those who get on the playing field determine the future, don't they? So those who keep quiet, we must find out what the heck's going on. But hey, you and I who voted, we determine the future.
Absolutely.
Rightfully, wrongfully, we're on the field, we're playing.
Yeah.
All right, next to you, introduce yourself. Just quickly, your overview of the elections, then I want to get to a deeper question or two for all of us.
Hi, I'm Candace. I'm a student at the University...
Closer, even closer.
Hi, okay. I'm a student at the University of Witwatersrand. I'm a proud feminist. I'm in my final year studying international relations and politics.
Okay.
I genuinely believe that these elections were very interesting in terms of the shift of power dynamic, but I do believe that we've seen that the ANC has a sense of entitlement to voters, that, you know, it's a sense of till death do us part, and not necessarily a self-reflection of the voter, the party's policies. And
that's changing now, isn't it?
It is changing, and I think these elections were somewhat, I hope, a wake-up call. And I think we should also not neglect the fact that what happened on Friday evening, was it Friday or Saturday evening, in which the four VIT students came in and did a silent protest.
Especially, were they VIT students, eh?
Yes, they were.
I thought so, yeah.
Of course they were. Considering the Women's Month context, we should you know, realize that there are much more important things that the ANC is not covering. So, that's
and then the way that was dealt with, you get the feeling sometimes a lot of our leaders or a lot of our South Africans don't realize the openness of our society,
true,
the visibility of our society, the fact that we're in a whole new world. You can't just shove people anymore. You
exactly.
can't do those sort of things. So fascinating time for politicians. It's a fascinating time for all of us. One more person, jump to a mic and just give us your view on the elections. And then my next question is, what messages do you think South Africans sent to the politicians with this election? What is it? And I want to know whether that reflects the youth. So if the youth were able to communicate to our politicians or to the country what they want, do you think the results of this election actually reflects that? Or can we not deduct that? Introduce yourself.
Afternoon. My name is Terminal Tomash. I currently work in Vodacom Stakeholder Relations. So I just want to put a disclaimer. These are my own opinions.
Of course.
Of course, you must be wondering, why am I here? So I was actually the former deputy president for the SRC at Tux. So yeah, look in terms
so
of
you
the
were very involved in student politics.
Oh, no, of course.
Student stuff happening.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. And I can't really, like I was telling the panel here as well, that I can't really state who I worked for as well, because there's a lot of controversies around the political parties today. I mean, if you say one small thing and it could be used against you. So just in terms of the elections, I think loyalty was important, and in terms of the ANC itself, loyalty was shown by not voting, to show that we need to prove a point as voters that we need change. I mean, there's a lot of people saying that we have urban and rural voters, but the problem was
That, so it's actually a double whammy for the ANC, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's not just the shift in the voting, mm-hmm. but actually the no-show obviously sends something.
Yeah. No, so that was a clear message from the party itself. I mean, look, there's a lot of ANC voters that could have went to the EFF, but they didn't. And a lot of people need to realize that the EFF likes... They do, in a sense, like the ANC, but they don't like the Zuma administration.
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's the big issue. So a lot of people weren't going towards EFF, and that was one of the biggest surprises for me, was EFF wasn't gaining enough votes. I mean, sure, they are on the boundary of 9-10%, but you'd expect them to take about 17-20%, but they didn't. So that means the ANC loyalty is still there.
It's a lost window, a lost opportunity for them, mm-hmm. because ANC is at its lowest point ever. The DA probably capitalized strategically fairly well, but not as good as they would have liked to. Yeah,
so,
very interesting.
But keywords there, voter turnout. So the DA did well in terms of voter turnout, in that sense to say, why don't you come out and vote? Whereas the ANC, the voters just stayed where they are.
Okay, so more views on the elections. And remember my question, do you think it reflects what message did the voting or the results send to our leaders? And does it actually reflect what the youth feel? You know, the future of our country, and I feel the energy when we have you around. Amanda, you're still with
it's
us.
It's Amanda again, CEO of EmpowerBase. So it was quite interesting for me
Let's just contextualize, because this is going to go on another podcast, and I want people to know. I mean, EmpowerBase, what you do is you literally deal with hundreds of schools, high schools, primary schools across the country, and these students get involved in a national competition where they... do projects that make a difference in the community. So you are close to the pulse of our youth.
Yes. So actually that's how YCAP came about, because we said just giving a memorandum to government is not going to solve your problems. And I think people realize that either because they don't have the time, they don't have the resources, they don't have the energy, or they're just not a priority for them. Like one of the projects we had was the graveyard project, where the municipality was asked, can you fence in this graveyard, because all the kids are going there and getting raped, robbed, vandalizing the graveyard. And they said, well, maybe in 10 years time, it's not on our priority list. So what did? They went there, raised 80,000 rand, they built it themselves. So that's what I'm saying about, you know, active citizenship. It's not only about, you know, going through the political way of getting there. You can also do things yourself. You can actually start now. You don't have to wait for someone in government to fix your problems.
Yes.
You don't have to wait for someone to build you a house. You can get together and start, you know, working on something that you can do yourselves. That's the one thing. But then obviously government related, it's a very interesting election for me, because it's just very confusing. Who do I vote for now? Because, you know, you don't want to be on one side and then you don't want to be on another side, but you have to choose someone. And I know some people went to the polls and they wrote on Facebook, I'm here, but I don't know who to vote for. They were there and they were just like, eeny, meeny, miny. They just chose something on the list, and there were so many parties there we'd never even seen or heard of. I don't even know who half those other parties were. And they got quite a lot of votes that could have actually made one of the, you know, the top parties stronger, but they decided not to. So it's a very interesting time. Just people are confused. They don't know who to vote for. They're not sure, you know, who is the right party. Are they going to say are they going to do what they say? I think that is the question.
Well, we kind of know by now. If you ask anyone, 9 out of 10 people, you ask them, do you think political parties, politicians, globally, deliver on what they promise? And people would say, no, it's par for the course, they don't. That's sad. It's a sad indictment. It's a sad reflection of politics. And I think there's a trust deficit as a result of that between electorate and politicians. They don't deliver, but we have to vote anyway, you know, and maybe one day they will deliver. It's kind of a sad situation. And I'm talking globally. I'm not just saying South Africa. All right. So back to the question also is where it's open up that seat. Who's next there? The big question is, and we only have a few minutes to discuss this, is what was the message South Africa sent to the leaders or to its own society? And does it reflect what the youth's priorities are, what the youth want from their leaders? Okay, we're back to Sherianne, is it right?
Yes, that's right. Sherianne was Heritage Gauteng 2016.
Well, Heritage, why do they call you Miss Earth? We kind of know the essence of that, Miss South Africa.
Miss Heritage is to promote heritage in South Africa and globally as well.
Okay.
So it's to promote where we come from. It's to promote South Africa's heritage sites and things like that. And in tying with that, I think South Africa is such a beautiful country. Apart from that, I was born in 1994. So I am a born free. And my message to the youth is, and the other born frees out there, we have no emotional ties to the past. We look at South Africa with hopeful eyes. I know the potential South Africa has, and it's literally in our hands to make a difference. The main headlines in the media today about the concerned elections, is a huge wake-up call. And I'd encourage not only the youth, but I'd encourage South Africans to witness what's going on in the next few years. I think this municipal elections sets a great context for the national elections coming up. And observe the changes in the country. Your vote is a very big decision you make. And as Amanda mentioned earlier, people are caught between political parties. They don't know who to vote for. Mm. But it is your decision. It is your vote. It is your voice. Use your voice. Like I said earlier, so many struggle veterans have fought decades for us to get where we are. Use that right. Make your voice heard. Use whatever platform you have to make a difference and to make a change in South Africa. Mm. The youth is the blood of the country. And I'd stick with that saying, because without the youth, the country cannot move forward. And it's up to us to make a stand.
Without blood in your body, you can't move forward. Chanel, Sashley, jump in any time. And then next, someone who was with us last week. And I'm asking the question. And tell me if you think that whatever the election results reflect to our leaders, whether it reflects what the youth want. Does it, in fact? Introduce yourself and give us your views.
Well, this is Bongani again, coming in for the second time. For me, what I think, or what I saw, or my view basically on what happened, is that South Africa proved that they are willing to look beyond history. They're willing to look beyond what happened in the struggle and the psychological subjugation that was happening, in terms of, if a certain party comes into rule, then forget everything, all the luxuries that ANC could afford you, because they're going to come in and they're going to give a particular race certain privileges that nobody else will get. I tweeted about this when right after we had the show last week, and I said, you know, for us, the youth coming up, is as long as history has a white version and a black version, peace will know the backseat. Mm-hmm. And for change to really come about, we need to look beyond the racial segregation. There shouldn't be a party that is for white people, Indian people, or black people for that matter. Mm. All parties should incorporate all races. And when we vote for a certain party, we vote based on their manifesto and what they promise to deliver, not on which race will have dominant privileges.
And that's the voice of our youth. Listen carefully. We'll tweet this. We'll retweet it. We'll send it out there. This is what the youth of our country feel. I think, I mean, obviously it's not a perfect poll, but we have you, we've got all races here, we've got all genders here, we're all sharing our views. And it seemed like, with respect to ANC, President Zuma played a bit of a race game before the election, some would say. I've seen a lot of writing about that. And race did play a big role in the run-up to the elections, but I'm not so sure that it reflects the results so much. So do the results reflect what the youth want of the country? Back to, let me get your name here, Mokobe.
Mokobe. Yes. Maybe just
very quickly tell us, Tusanani Foundation, you work with youth all in schools across the country.
Yeah, it helps rural youth to enroll in various institutions of higher learning, but also help them to graduate when they're inside the university. So it's an access, retention, and success NPO.
So other than the fact that you know, you're young yourself, but your organization deals with youth in high schools and thereafter.
Okay. Yeah. But I just want to differ, because I don't think we're supposed to sing a choir here.
No.
Differ first. I don't believe in the concept of bond freeze. I think it's a socially constructed myth aimed at distracting us from realizing that we are where we are today because of colonialism and apartheid. One. Two, I believe that when people say that the DA is a white party, they're not saying that it's because it's dominated by white people or led by white people. It's because it protects what we call white privilege. So it will stop. If, for example, the DA is against employment equity, the DA is against a unionization of certain sectors of the economy, because they know that. But with employment equity, you challenge the very core of white supremacist within the economy of South Africa. That's what it means. So I don't want it to be confused. We say anyone can vote for any party. And you can see a number of black people are voting for the DA, regardless of what conceptions are realized of it. Mm. In terms of the youth, what is not being said, and I think it's mainly the excitement of elections. There are 207 municipalities in South Africa.
Yeah.
The ANC won outright 176 of them. in percentage terms, that's about 85% of all municipalities in the country. Mm. The issue I raised earlier of turnout, the ANC did not lose in terms of its widespread or footprint. Its usual or previous domination or dominance by percentage-wise received a serious blow because of its voters being absent and not turning up. Mm. That's there now. Its job is not to try and criticize any party for any particular reason, but to go back to its communities and ask its very own traditional voters, how come you didn't vote for us?
Well, become a listening party.
It's because and another thing which is not being spoken about is how, despite airtime, so much airtime given to the EFF, literally for months, even running adverts on the EFF singing capabilities, the EFF only managed to get 600,000 votes more than it did in 2014 in millions of votes cast. That's so the ANC must not focus on anyone else. Nobody is taking away its votes. The DA and what the DA must get credit for is that it was able to get its traditional voters to go vote. I have friends who live around Northern Johannesburg, and they said queues in Northern Johannesburg, which are traditional strongholds of the ANC, were unbelievable. People were getting fetched, and that was the hard work that the DA put in, and the results showed. Yeah. So in terms of whether people were struggle credentials or anything, no. I think the ANC itself is a post-struggle credentials organization based on its policies.
All right, so a lot of messages that this election is sending. We'll never know exactly what it's sending. And of course, we've had from Musi Maimane to Kgalema Motlanthe to Dalim Pof, who sit in that very chair where you're sitting down. All their views all the time. It's fascinating. It really is fascinating sitting on this side and listening to what they all have to say. But finally, where should the priorities lie from now on? Especially speak for the youth?
Yeah, I think personally, it's hard for me to relate to the youth. To the ANC.
You better relate.
To the ANC, because I especially found their campaigning just for the municipal elections to be very in your face. The fact that they would dab for votes or drive with Jaguars and Mercedes, etc., in rural communities, it was kind of like a slap in the face, and I couldn't relate. And I think amongst my friends as well, we find to relate to political parties that speak for youth, that say, listen, you guys are the embodiment of this country. Like Ms. Heritage has said, we are the blood in this country. It seems that when the youth do voice our concerns, as seen as fees must fall, it just seems like we're marginalized. We don't matter. So I find that parties need to focus on the youth more and realize that we matter, simply. I find that I can't relate to any.
Well, that's why we created this platform, is the youth kind of feel like they're not necessarily being heard. Maybe they're communicating through mediums and various platforms that the older generation has not adopted yet.
Twitter's not enough, unfortunately.
No,
I find that we will tweet a lot.
We need conversation, you see.
Exactly.
This is what we want to create here. And we must find a way to create this into an hour show.
Mm.
But we've got to get you youth. We don't just want to interview one youth every week.
Exactly.
We want this kind of conversation. All right. Finally, what where to from here for the youth? What do the youth want? And in fact, if they don't get it, what the heck's going to happen? We've got 30 seconds.
So yeah, very quickly, fees must fall. I'm not too sure about it, but that is a clear message. Education, and that's something the youth needs to drive from here on in. If we want a good economy, which we need, then education is the way.
Definitely the way. All right, last view then. Who's going to say very quickly what from here on?
I think it's all about active citizenship. I know that's what the organization I run, but the point is we need to all put our money where our mouths are. We need to make things happen. We need to make change. If we want our political party that we belong to be doing better in the election, we need to also go and promote it. I know one of my friends has become a councillor. So a lot of people that I know are getting into politics. They're becoming ward councillors, actually making a change. They're putting themselves forward to say, we want to drive this. We want to make sure this happens properly. So don't just complain about things. Do something.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. We need to respect the next show. Guys, thank you for coming. Really, I hope we can depend on you in the future. Chanel, happy with the vibe we feel?
Very happy. Didn't get a word in, but I'm glad. I'm glad that the platform is turning out to be exactly what it should be.
Sashley, thank you for organizing a lot of this. Vibe going. You got the people in. Final word.
Great discussion. I'm so happy. This is what needs to happen more. This is what YLP is about, engaging in discussions with the youth. This is the youth in essence.
Yeah.
It's great. I'm happy.
All right. Next week again, YLP Youth Leadership Platform. And it's a kind of a public holiday tomorrow, I know, but it's a long weekend and you guys still came. Thank you so much. And get back there, study, and be part of the solution. Thank you for joining us. We look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye.
The Leadership Platform was brought to you by Sibanye, a proudly South African multi-commodity mining company. At Sibanye, we believe leaders are made, not born. We also believe we can create a sustainable legacy by helping to develop tomorrow's leaders today. We are proud of our partnership with the Leadership Platform and will continue to support leaders who are committed to growing our country. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za. Cliffcentral.com.